this year's elections will impact the future of Alaska. On KCAM's Meet the Candidates program, we're giving you the chance to hear candidates in their own words tell you what's important to them. This is Doug Walker, and I am talking with Kelly Shabaka, who is running for the Alaska position as U.S. Senator. And we'd like to welcome you and begin by asking you, what are your goals in running?
Doug, thanks so much for having me. I'd start out by saying I want to fight for the Alaskans who fought for me. So my story is that my parents moved here before I was born. They had a great dream in their heart, but life kind of went sideways. They ended up being homeless. And my mom, with a high school degree, was able to get a job up at the slope at the start of Prudhoe Bay. And they got into a mobile home and a starter home, and they had a little starter Kelly, if you will. And life took off from there. I got to be the first in our family to pursue a college degree, worked for Ted Stevens, married my husband. We've got 5 kids. Life's great. I advanced the story to say, when I saw some decisions that our senior senator was making to help Joe Biden really cancel a lot of our oil and gas jobs and shut down our resource industries, that was the kind of job my mom had, you know? And it's a lot of our Alaskan jobs, our ability to pay the rent and put food on the table, make a different path for our kids. And I thought, you know, I took it personal. I just want to fight for those Alaskans who fought for me and my family. We wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for people who came around us and gave us those opportunities and helped us out. I just want a different future for our children, for our retirees, and for the people who want to call Alaska home instead of a national park. And that's why I jumped in the race. I never dreamed of being a politician when I grew up or running for U.S. Senate, but I really just can't sit by and watch this happen to all the people that I love. So that's why I jumped into this race. And that's the dream and the vision that I have, is a different Alaska than the one that we're headed to right now.
Some of these races have several people with the same party. So from your perspective, why are you running as a Republican?
Well, I worked for Don Young when I was in high school on one of his campaigns. And one of the things I learned real early is kind of a fundamental philosophy difference between the Democrat and Republican Party is, do you believe that the government can really solve your problems, government-empowered solutions, or do you really believe in community and individual-empowered solutions? I don't put a lot of faith and trust in people in the party. I've spent my career doing investigations and audits of government insiders. And I'll tell you, we've got problem people on all sides. There are some of my most trusted mentors and allies I would call Democrats, and there are people in the Republican Party I won't have lunch with. So that's not so much how we divide parties up, but I think of it more as principle. And in principle, I believe that communities and individuals are more empowered to come up with their solutions than government is. Government solutions tends to make things more complicated, nuanced, and worse. They tend to do things more expensive bureaucratically. And instead, I find when we rely on self-determination and self-reliance, individuals, families, communities, the smaller the solution oriented, the more we can empower that, the better things go for people. And I really think that we can be our own answer and solution rather than, you know, people 4,000 miles away swooping in to tell us Alaskans what to do. And that seems to be the basic kind of principle difference between the two parties at a macro level. So that's why I call myself Republican. But I'll tell you, I don't get along with Mitch McConnell, as many people are hearing on radio and television and on social media right now. So it's not that it's all just party alignment all the time.
Can you tell us what distinguishes you from the candidates you're running against?
I think the 3 main things that distinguish me, for example, from Lisa Murkowski, and she would be the same as Pat Chesbrough on these. Number one, I would absolutely support our Second Amendment. She's voted for Joe Biden's red flag gun control laws. That doesn't help us here in Alaska, not for self-defense, which we need for public safety reasons, nor for subsistence living. And so those things, I think, are a big priority for most Alaskans, and that's something that I would support, is our Second Amendment rights. I have the highest rating of the NRA, which is significantly downgraded Murkowski. I'm also endorsed by Gun Owners of America. I'm proud about that. It's also made my dad real proud. He lives down on the Kenai. The second thing is, I would oppose Biden nominees that would harm Alaska. Murkowski has supported all of the radical environmentalist nominees that have shut down our resource industries. So that includes shutting down ANWR, NPRA, the Cook Inlet oil and gas leases, the Ambler Mine, the Tongass National Forest, you name it, our industries are hurting. And all of these people are nominees that have been put in place by the Biden administration that she could have opposed and in some cases could have blocked. She was the tie-breaking vote that pushed them forward. And I think we've taken a lot of slap shots to the face from the Biden administration, 26 direct executive actions in the last year and a half. I think we just need a good goalie, and I want to stand in the goal and protect Alaskans. And the last thing is, we need to really watch who controls our senator. You owe votes to the people who give you money, and right now, nearly all of Murkowski's campaign is funded by dark money. We just saw a report. She's got $6+ million coming from McConnell. She's got an outside PAC with millions in it, and then she's got her own $7 million she spent with a couple million cash on hand. And of all that money, less than $1 million of it is from Alaskans. In contrast, most of my money right now is from Alaskans. And I think it's really important that we have an Alaska voice in the U.S. Senate, not a dark money voice that says it's from Alaska. Of all that money I just told you, most of it, as the analysis has done of this last, all the money up to this last quarter, which just got reported, is actually from Washington, D.C. So through and through, it's a D.C. insider voice representing us Alaskans instead of an Alaskan voice. Those are the three things that are different about me from the current incumbent, and I think it's time for a change.
How do you feel the U.S. Senate, if confronted with the issue, should handle the issue of abortion in light of the Supreme Court's recent Dobbs decision?
There's a couple things that are happening with respect to the issue of abortion across the nation. The one is, what do we do with the money? The decision's been given back to the states. Unlike the incumbent, I don't support taxpayer-funded abortions. I would prefer we give that money back to local health care clinics here in Alaska that provide women's health care services. We haven't been doing that, and I would support that. Another one is a recent piece of legislation that went forward that proposed, do we have a national cap across the states that's similar to what France and Germany has, somewhere in the second trimester? I'm pro-life. I would support that. My opponent has voted against that many times. Instead, she has supported bills several times that would allow abortions even to when the baby is coming out of the birth canal. I think that's too extreme, and I wouldn't support that. Those are some of the decisions that are coming up before Congress. Another one I would support is to start allowing some more access to women's birth control over the counter. We have access to men's birth control in every gas station, but maybe lifting some of the requirements for women to go see a doctor regularly and get a prescription for birth control, instead making that more readily available so that when our Alaska rural communities come in for the summer into town, they can get the bulk distribution at Costco and take it back. They don't have to depend on their post office being open. It isn't always, or being able to see a doctor when they don't have doctors in the communities. Those are some of the protections that we could put in place at the federal level, and I would support that. There's a bunch of ads that have run around saying that I would do something different, but those all got fact-checked by an independent PolitiFact, and they said that those are all lies. So there's no extent that they would be willing to go to try and win this election, including telling lies to really persuade voters. But those all got fact-checked and said, nope, those are all lies. Kelly doesn't think there should be limits on birth control, and I don't. I think that's something we could address at the federal level.
You're listening to an interview with Kelly Shibaka, who is running for U.S. Senator. What steps should Alaska take to improve its economic condition?
Well, there's several things that we can do. One, we've got to hold these agencies accountable to their permitting laws. We have laws that say they've got to get permits done in a certain amount of time. They've been blowing through them. So cutting their budgets through appropriations, having some hard-hitting hearings before committees, that hasn't been done yet, despite our seniority on appropriations and energy committees. And I would start to want to do that. I'd also leverage the internal affairs mechanisms that we have in the executive agencies to do that. That's the world I come from, the inspector general offices, to start holding agencies accountable. But I would say on top of that, we need to start diversifying our economy, doing things like investing in the national security industry. We have a great place on the globe, being the only Arctic state in the nation. And we can see with the Arctic movement in China and Russia, that we need to start plussing up in that area. So starting to look at new industries and investments is also our way forward in Alaska, especially that'll help us in Western and interior Alaska development.
And anything else in the last half minute or so that you want to add for our listeners?
I get a lot of questions about the smear campaigns being run right now. So I'll just say, regarding the investigation into my audit of the hours, I was completely exonerated from all of that and subsequently promoted. You'll never find a letter of reprimand or warning against me and about the move. There were multiple breaches on that contract. I told them there would be. I documented all of it and turned it into the Attorney General so that it could be investigated. So that's the other side of the story that you're not hearing in those ads. All of those ads are false and lies, but I'm sure you're going to hear a lot more about them in the next couple of weeks because they're desperate to win this election. I'm at kellyforak.com if anyone wants to learn more. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you very much for your time, Kelly. And am I right that you're going to be out this way later this month?
Yeah, we're making an effort to do a statewide road trip tour, and you are on the list. So I'm hoping to see you here at the end of October. It'll be great to connect with everybody.
Okay. Thanks again for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's today's edition of Meet the Candidates. During the days leading up to the November 8th general election, we're letting you hear from candidates for Alaska's U.S. House and Senate races, as well as the Alaska Governor's Contest and the State House and Senate races that impact Copper Valley voters. We encourage you to keep listening on most weekdays until November 8th for more interviews with the candidates. Meet the Candidates airs at 8:15 a.m. and 4:15 p.m. on KCAM AM 790. And on 88.7 FM, you'll hear Meet the Candidates weekdays after the news and weather at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.